I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. On this episode, we're joined by Jehiva Floyd, Holy Cross Basketball Class of 2019. Jehiva was a two-time Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. He's an accomplished author now with a new book titled Rehabilitation of a Black Man's Heart, Live Like You Already Won. And he's currently playing professional basketball in the Turkish Basketball Super League. Jehiva, welcome back to Seder Stories, and thanks for joining us again from Turkey.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
It's been a few years since we last saw you here on the pod. In that time, you've done a lot. You've played pro in Turkey, Japan, Israel. You've been around the world and back. How have you been enjoying this tour through basketball?
Honestly, it's been a blessing. I think just being able to witness different cultures and try to adapt and adjust. Right now I'm kind of going viral on Instagram, social media, just trying to learn the language, Turkish language. It started back in last year when I was in Japan. I started to talk, engage with the fans a little bit more than my previous days where I was just locked in on basketball. But now as I get older, you want to find different things, and, have the years go by a little bit smoother. So, because basketball is just ups and downs, but there's a lot of things to see, in the countries that I'm living in. So, yeah.
That's great that you're engaging with the local language and the fans. We've heard here in the States just how passionate, especially these European basketball fans can be. During your 7 years as a pro now, what have been some of your favorite places to play? And where have been some of the hardest places to go and face off against some of those fans and opposing teams?
So it varies. I think just my third year playing EuroLeague, I witnessed so many different crowds. I played for Panathinaikos, where just being at home was, it was crazy. Obviously, back then they weren't as good as they are now, but I still was able to experience the fans and the passion they have for basketball. And honestly, I think my favorite place was playing in Turkey. So that second end of that season, I transferred over to Fenerbahce, and I love that organization. I love the experience I had there. The fans, they knew basketball, so they knew when to boo, they knew when to cheer. It was just everybody was on the same page. So I think that was pretty much for basketball reasons, my favorite place to play.
And you've had championship success over there in Europe, Greek Super Cup winner, Turkish League champ. What were some of the accomplishments that have meant the most to you and your teammates throughout this run?
Honestly, I think just being able to see winning early in my career, coming from a small Division I college, Holy Cross, in basketball terms, obviously not academics, but in basketball terms, a lot of people overlooked me. It was hard, going up the ranks and just European basketball professionally. So to be able to, achieve, accomplishments early, I was really set the pace for my career. Honestly, I think the biggest one, I lost in the championship my second year. And then the third year, I was able to, win the championship with Fenerbahce. And I think after that year, it was just, amazing to, finally taste victory as a professional. And I think my career kind of put a stamp on my career just as a winner. So it was pretty dope.
This season, you're playing with Petkumspor in Turkey. At this point in your career, you're in a stretch run now, chasing the postseason. At this point in your career, what's left for you to accomplish? What keeps driving you at this point to keep competing and keep working?
Honestly, just to, maximize the opportunity. It's a short window being a professional basketball player. There's so much opportunity here, obviously, just from traveling, but also in the basketball field. There's, a lot of money to be made, so you want to, be able to hit your peak at some point. Obviously, I hope I didn't hit my peak as a young in my career, just being able to, win, but I still have that drive. Obviously, my injury played a key role in that, being away from the basketball for a year and a half and missing the game. So I still have that fire of I do love the game. I think that was my time that I realized that, because you can go through burnout here. Seasons are long, 10 months. It's not like college. It's not just from October to March, so it's all year round. So I think being able to find a ways to, learning how to be a professional is one, And just, it's the lifestyle I chose, like this is the lifestyle I chose out of college, and it's working really well for me. And I just, I'm grateful, and I'm, honestly, I just want to continue to just, see what happens. I'm still excited. I still have that hope and that desire. Like I started basketball at a young age, so it's like I'm still like learning the game. So it's pretty fun for me, I would say.
Let's take a break. When we return, we'll look back on the 2016 Patriot League Basketball Championship with Jehiva Floyd right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence, in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete, to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
On Saturday, February 28th, the Holy Cross women's hockey team will host a Hockey East playoff game for the first time in program history. Join us at the Hart Center Rink as the Crusaders host New Hampshire with a trip to the Hockey East semis on the line. Puck drop is set for 2 p.m. and admission is completely free. Come see the Crusaders and Olympic medalist Naomi Herzig battle to keep their historic season alive. That's Saturday, February 28th at 2 p.m. Welcome back to Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. I'm Kevin Gale, joined by Holy Cross basketball alum, Jehiva Floyd. Jehiva, we were just talking about it. 10 years since the 2016 Patriot League Championship. Incredible to think that decade has flown by. You were a freshman on that team. It was the first squad to win four games in a row to take home the title. What stands out to you most about that special squad coached by Bill Carmody?
You know what's interesting? I think I still take it to this day. It was the ability to adjust. Obviously, we didn't have the season that we imagined. We were ninth, tenth in the standings, and obviously what we were trying to do wasn't working. And I think the coaching staff was able to make a slight change where it messed up the whole league, where they couldn't figure us out in four games. You know what I'm saying? So it was amazing to see. What happens when you adjust and make that adjustment? Because obviously, if things are not going your way, you have to try something, And I take it to this day, just from basketball, I'm looking at the game, trying to find ways to adjust throughout the game. So I think that was my first, taste of like what it means to like really play winning basketball.
That was a team that was really shooting the three well in the postseason. You rode that hot streak into Dayton. You won a first four game. That was the first NCAA tournament win for Holy Cross dating back all the way to 1953. Every player dreams of playing and experiencing and winning in March Madness. What was that month like for you?
Oh, it was crazy. Because I think dating back to my recruitment journey, I wasn't supposed to be a freshman that year. I was supposed to register in Worcester Academy. Obviously, I was recruited by Mike Brown. So, obviously, that whole thing wasn't planned. So, I'm like, this is destined by God. This is happening for me. So, honestly, I didn't have such a big role. So, I was the biggest cheerleader. Honestly, I was the one making sure we were locked in on defense, making sure we were celebrating after make shots. So, honestly, during that month, it was a completely different experience that I didn't think of. Because, like I said, I started basketball late. So, I wasn't even thinking about college basketball. So, to be able to, experience March Madness and just like the energy on the campus and just flying charter and just being exposed to a different level of basketball really kind of like opened my eyes to, basketball in general. So
that's a team from 2016 that will always be connected. And we were so thrilled to see them back at the Hart Center a couple weeks ago for the 10-year anniversary. I know you were disappointed. You're playing overseas, living your dream in Turkey. But how did that group stay connected with you? And how excited were you to see the group back together at midcourt there?
Yeah, we're still all stay connected. I actually was hanging out with Cullen and JB. Well, JB wasn't on that team, but I'm still connected to Holy Cross alumni. It's a small brotherhood, so it's easy to, if you're in their city, we reach out or stuff like that. But when we got word that we were getting celebrated at halftime, Cullen put out a text message, a group text with everyone. And obviously, immediately once I seen the date, I'm like, yeah, I'm overseas during that time. So obviously, it was a bummer not to be able to be there, but it was good to see the pictures and see, them all be together again. It just brought back memories of college, and it's always good to have those nostalgic moments.
And we'll see you back for the 20th reunion, right?
Oh, for sure. By then, I'll be, older, hopefully, family with kids and stuff like that. So, I'll bring all of them. So, I'll be excited for that.
That's great. Still some work to do overseas. I like that. After that magical run your freshman year, you went on to great success. You were a really well-rounded player, especially considering you joined the sport later, not just a two-time defensive player of the year in the Patriot League. You also finished as the all-time Patriot League leader with a nearly 66% shooting percentage in your career. What meant most to you about your time as a Crusader? We talk all about these accolades, but the brotherhood, it sounds like, is what meant the most to you during that time.
No, for sure. I think that's like what I needed at the time. I mean, I was a young, wet behind the ears kid. I didn't know too much. I was just, talented and raw. I didn't really know, how to, help the team right away. I think my first 2 years, I didn't play too much. So honestly, those guys really set the standard of what it takes to work hard and to win. And honestly, after they graduated, I knew it was my time to step up. And I think the summer before my junior year, I really took it seriously. I told myself, if I don't, make a breakout year, I gotta find another job. So like it was just that type of, determination, to be able to and to see the fruits of the labor, come out of the junior my junior year and, be able to showcase my talent and really, put my mark on the league. I think it was very refreshing, relieving, I would say. So yeah, it was definitely the most, that's what I take from my college years.
Beyond the game, during your time at Holy Cross, you also helped found the Men of Color Athletes Group, MOCA. We have WOCA as well, Women of Color Athletes, both still very active today. Why was that space important to create for student athletes of color at Holy Cross?
I mean, honestly, again, I like I said, I was a student who came into it not really having a lot of examples of what it meant to, navigate the college space. And honestly, coming from like an urban area, there was so much more diversity I was used to. So coming to Holy Cross, where it gives you a better representation of how America is, but I wasn't taught how to navigate. So to have that space where we can, talk about our feelings, talk about our thoughts, share stories. And then it turned into something where we, okay, like how can we use our story to help others, and how can we bridge the gap? Because obviously as athletes, we have that responsibility, everyone looking to us and obviously for different reasons, like you're only here for, sports, stuff like that. So like it's a whole mix of things that we figured out for ourselves where it was like, okay, we're going to use our voice. And I think during that time, obviously NBA players, NBA NFL guys started to kind of lead us in that direction, and we just, took it and ran. I think we was, eager to make an impact on campus.
We're now celebrating 125 years of men's basketball at Holy Cross. You're now part of that great legacy here at the college. But when you look back at your time and you look at some of the lessons you've learned, how do you feel like Holy Cross has made you the man that you are today, jet setting around the world, playing professionally, and, impacting people's lives the way you have?
I just think it pushed me out of my comfort zone. I think just, like I said, not, growing up in that type of environment, the high intense academic atmosphere, the high intense basketball, like it really stretched and groomed me. Like I didn't expect to be a leader on campus. I didn't expect to be a good basketball player who, I'm saying, like have, broke records and stuff like that. I just wanted to go to college and get out of like my situation. So I think just being to be able to reflect and get the respect from the, I'll call them the OGs, like, the OGs, and they still, you know what I'm saying, reach out to me and stuff like that. I think having them is always going to give me a sense of pride. Like, I have a sense of pride in saying, like, hey, I went to Holy Cross, because people respect it, obviously, from an academic perspective, but just the route I took in basketball, they're like, oh, wow, you came a long way. So I think Holy Cross built me into someone who's always going to achieve for more and for greatness. So I definitely thank everyone for that. Everybody, I mean, yeah, everyone I encountered during that time for that. Yeah.
And you certainly keep achieving as an author now. Let's take one last break. When we return, we'll talk with Jehiva about his new book, Rehabilitation of a Black Man's Heart: Live Like You Already Won. That's next on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
When you invest in Holy Cross women's athletics, you're investing in present and future generations of competitors, scholars, teammates, and leaders in our community. To support women's athletics via Crusader Athletics Fund, select any women's program to make a sport-specific gift, or select women's athletics to make a gift to the annual fund in support of all Women's Crusader programs. Visit goholycross.com/CAF for more info. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. I'm glad to be joined again by Jehiva Floyd, Holy Cross basketball class of 2019. All right, Jehiva, you recently released a book titled Rehabilitation of a Black Man's Heart: Live Like You Already Won. I love the title, Live Like You Already Won. What was your inspiration behind this book?
Honestly, after my first book, I wasn't really looking to write another one, because I just based on like being vulnerable to the world, and I think I was like, I'm cool, I'm cool. I did it once, like, I'm not gonna do it again. But so much life happened. So much life happened after that book, where it kind of showed me that healing never stops. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought, like, okay, I got this healing thing down, like, I'm studying social psychology after, getting a sociology degree. You know what I'm saying? My 20s are gonna be, out of the park, And then stuff started happening, stuff started shifting in my life when like, I got injured. I think that kind of put a halt in like everything. Like I said, we won the championship, I played NBA Summer League, I was felt like I was on top of the world. I got the biggest contract of my life at the time. The next year, the next season, I was like, oh, this is what you work for. So, and in a way, I also felt a burnout, where I was like, kind of like wanting space away from basketball. But I know that that's a job, like, you have to be prepared. So during that time, I also got an injury, and stress fracture in my second metatarsal on my right foot, thinking this is going to be just 6 weeks. So I'm like, I'm in the breather in a way, like, okay, this is a break I needed, but it ended up being a longer process. And realizing after having two surgeries on my foot, I realized I needed to, face something I was trying to avoid. It was the ego, the arrogance I was receiving from the trauma of success in a way. And I think during the time I was in heavy in therapy, just trying to figure out, how do I get my fire back? Because I feel like I accomplished everything I wanted to do. I didn't want to do too much. Like I said, I started basketball as a young age, so I just wanted to play basketball, by my mom's house, X, Y, and Z, like, something small. And once I did that, I'm like, oh, what do I need basketball for? Like, it's like, I can just live. But obviously, I think the injury taught me that I do love basketball. I do love the craft. I do love, getting up every morning and, putting my body through hell just to, show the world that if you put your mind to something, you can achieve what you want. So that was really the message behind the book, where my first book wasn't too much about race, but I felt a calling to talk about the perspective I have as a Black man. So the injury, the healing I was going through, me just the Black man perspective, my faith, all that was intertwined into the title that you said earlier.
So this is interesting. We've been talking a lot about burnout here in the United States. Alyssa Liu, fresh off a women's figure skating gold medal, she talked about taking time away from the sport and redeveloping her love. You go through the injury, you go through the trauma of that struggle. So what did that teach you about balancing motivation for success while not putting too much pressure on yourself while you're doing what you love?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned is detaching from the outcome and actually, embracing the process. And I think that's what injuries do for us, because we have no ability to know what the outcome is once you're hurt. I didn't know that I would come back and be able to play at the same or better level that I'm playing at right now. It was just a belief I had to really, work on, because I didn't believe at first. I was like, this is it. I'm never going to go back to that level. And then you asked me a question earlier. What keeps jogging me is that getting to seeing where I'll go, after the hard work of, returning from an injury and, getting over that hurdle of a burnout. You want to, okay, how can I refrain myself from burning out? How do I, and it's a lot of it's slowing down and surrendering to the process. It's more like, okay, I might not win as many games, but like, how are you going? How are you becoming a better player? How are you becoming a better person? And that's more so where what I learned, because I saw success so much early on in college. We got the championship, and my first couple years in pro, I got championships. So it was like I saw. So okay, if I don't win, it's a bust. That was my mentality until the injury, where I'm like, okay, I'm also winning. This is where living like you've already won comes in place, because no matter if I get a win on the sheet, I'm still winning in life because of so much I've been through and overcame. And that's how I live my life, more of an even keeled, more grounded style of living, more so than like urgent, like you have to go get it, you have to go get it. Like, I still have that aggression, but it's more controlled now.
And what a lot of people don't know is when you were recovering from that injury, you took time away from playing basketball in Europe to coach at Air Force.
Yeah.
You go a world away to see the game from the other side as a coach. How did that time really re-trigger your fire for playing and also give you a new outlook on the game itself?
Yeah, it felt like a rebirth, honestly. I drove my car from Georgia to all the way to Colorado, and I took that time for myself to try to figure out, how do I really, move forward despite what I didn't want to happen. As an athlete, that's in the back of your mind all the time, So it's like, once it happens, it's like, okay, I'm still alive. We're good. Like, how can we figure out? And I think just having the opportunity to go coach was like, it was just like a blessing in disguise, where now I'm seeing the game from a different perspective, and it makes the game so much easier for me. Like, I think just being in that space, obviously I was able to use what I learned in Mocha and, just be a asset, be a bridge between the head coach and the young guys, to just, instill everything I have into them, and whatever they needed to come to me for advice, I was always open. And I wasn't too far off in age. I was like, I think 25, 26. So like, I was talking from a place of like, hey, if you really want it, if you really want to go pro, if you want to go, and they still to this day reach out to me. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to walk in purpose, where it doesn't have to actually me being playing on the court, was gave me a different perspective, and it just launched so much different things in my life, where I was able to write another book. I'm in real estate investing now. I'm a content creator. I did speaking engagements. So like, it just gave life a better outlook, where a lot of athletes don't know what to do after basketball. Now I'm doing it while I'm playing now. So, and that's the blessing, and that's what I'm grateful for, of that time just being away. So I see a lot of athletes now, and just being an asset to athletes now, where it's like, okay, Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And a lot of them older than me have not thought about it. So I'm looking at myself like, oh, thank you, it happened. Like, thank you that injury happened to me, because obviously I'm healthy now. But it was definitely a journey, and I just appreciate it, and I just want to continue to go on, just in case, not just in case, but like if something happened, I know I'm gonna be okay, and I know that I can pivot whenever that time comes.
That's so great to hear. You have so many irons in the fire preparing for, the next 30, 40 years. So if you could go back in time and give yourself any advice, what would that be to a young athlete? And I always like to ask this because we have a lot of current crusaders who listen, who are probably wondering the same things about their own future. What would that advice be to a young basketball player or any crusader student athlete?
I think just being a student, not only the student of the game, but the people around you. I think we're in a generation where a lot of people don't want to listen to other people. And fair so, there's a lot of projection. There's a lot of people just talking out of their experience. But if you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, there's something there. And life won't let you live until you actually face those things. I've just been in so many situations where I've been cut, because I'm mostly attached to the outcome. I'm mostly attached to this. I'm letting things stay in my way. I have the talent, but sometimes I l allow my mindset to, deter me from, actually performing. So now it's like more not about performance. It's more about presence. How can I be a presence on the floor? What am I going to? How can I affect the game? How can I impact winning? And obviously, that for me is on a defensive end now. Being able to coach and see the game a different way. Now I'm finding different adjustments. I'm starting to see the floor a different way, getting my teammates involved. So I think obviously there's different types of players, where there's guys scoring 20 points a game. There's guys that are scoring or grabbing 13 rebounds a game. You got to find your niche. You got to find where do you fit, and you can't compare yourself to another person's journey. Like, again, I make money just to have energy on the court. I'm bringing energy every single time, and that's what gives me value on the court. And it's not a pretty job, but hey, it pays the bills. So I think just I'm sure anybody who wants to reach that level of professionalism and wants to achieve their dream, you just have to find a way. It's not going to be the same way you had it in college. It's not going to be the same way you had it in high school. You got to adjust and adapt on the fly.
It's great to hear all about the journey that you've lived and experienced, and all the wisdom that you can now share through your two books, Godfidence and now Rehabilitation of a Black Man's Heart. Live Like You Already Won. Jehiva, where can folks get your book?
Yeah, you can get the book on Amazon. Both books are on Amazon. You can just write in my name, and it'll be easier to get both books. Shameless plug. But you can find it on Amazon.
And lastly, how often does Holy Cross come up in your daily life? How proud are you to share with folks overseas your experience that you had, and how do you carry on for the Crusaders today?
Honestly, I feel like just I'm always reminded through social media, obviously, just being so far away. But we're in a group on social media where I'm just connected with alumni, and they're always supporting my work. They're always supporting, my games. They're posting me and stuff like that. So it's always the pride to know that I have people behind my back where they share the same experience. I think the last thing I did with Holy Cross was a panel last year. And it brought tears to my eyes, because sometimes you let life go by, you don't realize how special that time was at Holy Cross. And a lot of the times I was the youngest one in that panel, and it was giving me goosebumps how similar our experiences were, and like how much of a community we have. So I can't wait. I mean, obviously I've been trying different ways to stay connected. I can't wait to be in the States full time, where I can actually, go on campus. Because again, when I'm in the States, I usually, make my way over there and stuff like that with the different guys. But lately, it's just been tough because of my travel. But I can't wait to be able to, like, reach back, because there were so many people that, helped me throughout that process. So I can't wait to be someone who does that for the next person.
Jehiva Floyd, on behalf of all of Crusader Nation, it's been awesome to watch your journey. Congratulations on all the success. Best of luck with your new book and the playoff run in Turkey. You got so much going on. We're looking forward to seeing you back on campus a little bit more when you're not jet setting around the world.
Appreciate you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for being here. And my thanks to everyone for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another episode of Seder Stories. Until then, we ask that you tell your fellow Crusaders about Seder Stories, available anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. That's it for now. I'm Kevin Gale. Go Cross, go.